Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Friday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You made it to a three-day weekend, but there's still time to air the grievances, Dom. 844-967-2789. The Friday happy hour made for airing of the grievances. Welcome to our friends listing on AM 950 Minneapolis. If you didn't know, Dom, KTNF country. They join us now. And Dom, I'd like to start the hour with a grievance I've had against the former speaker all the way back to the 1990s. Newt. We saw Newt in Iowa most recently in
you got up
2015.
Personal, man, you were sitting right next to Newt and whichever Stepford wife he was with at the time.
Callista. She's now the ambassador to the Vatican, I believe. And a very... I tell you no lies. Look it up. I believe Callista is the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican, but she has the deadest eyes of any human being I've ever seen. Like, she may have a blinking disorder, like, doesn't have to blink.
Dead eyes, like a doll's eyes.
No, I know we play that joke, but I'm telling you, the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican, Callista New... what's her name? Gingrich.
Gingrich?
Mrs. Newt Gingrich. She's a scary creature. From Appleton, my understanding as well.
Whoa, really?
Kind of like Greta Van Susteren.
Something in the water up there, man.
But anyways, here's the take on Newt. He may be in big trouble, Dom. How the January 6th committee may have the goods on Newt. Oh, that'd really sting. David Badish at the New Civil Rights Movement writes, longtime Republican disruptor Newt Gingrich, senior advisor to then-President Donald Trump, Jared Kushner, and longtime campaign advisor Jason Miller, conducted an email discussion about posting ads falsely disputing the results of the 2020 election, according to a letter sent to Gingrich by the U.S. House Select Committee on the J6 attack. I prefer to call them the J6 Committee. The goal is to arouse the country's anger, Gingrich said in one email. The committee states in its letter, which asks him to testify voluntarily, Dom,
please,
and preserve all related documents. A, you got to think he's having a burn party down at the farm. And B, Newt Gingrich ain't voluntarily given testimony. He's going to need a subpoena and maybe the Steve Bannon treatment.
Crudy, the committee also says it also has evidence that Gingrich was involved in the fake elector scheme.
What?
Right? I mean, it just keeps getting better. Even in the hours after the violent but failed January 6th coup, the committee says Gingrich continued to push efforts to overturn the election results and emailed Mark Meadows at 10:42 p.m. Professor of Law Anthony Kreese says it sounds like the January 6th committee may have the goods on Newt Gingrich orchestrating part of a broader conspiracy to solicit election fraud and or commit unlawful interference with election administration under Georgia law. In its letter, the committee states that it has obtained information indicating that you have knowledge about former President Donald J. Trump's efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election, and we write to seek your voluntary cooperation. Some of the information that we have obtained includes email messages that you exchanged with senior advisors to President Trump and others, including Jared Kushner and Jason Miller, in which you provided detailed input into television advertisements that repeated and relied upon false claims about fraud in the 2020 election. These advertising efforts were not designed to encourage voting for a particular candidate. Instead, these efforts attempted to cast doubt on the outcome of the election after voting had already taken place, the committee letters read to Gingrich. They encouraged members of the public to contact their state officials and pressure them to challenge and overturn the results of the election. To that end, these advertisements were intentionally aired in the days leading up to December 14, 2020, the day electors from each state met to cast their vote for president and the vice president, the committee adds. Among the numerous emails you exchanged regarding purported election fraud, you wrote on December 8th of 2020, urging Donald Trump's campaign to air advertisements promoting the false narrative that election workers had smuggled suitcases containing fake ballots at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. This email shows that you provided line edits to the script used to produce television advertisements and suggested that the advertisements include a call to action of pressuring state officials. You specifically pushed for a national
insurrection now
to include false allegations about what you called the suitcase scandal. Ooh, he even kind of tagged it, man. The suitcase scandal. So let me make some crap up. We'll get some, you know, money from a bunch of, you know, either billionaires or, you know, cult members. We'll put out some false advertisements and we'll call it the suitcase scandal. How's that sound? Oh, what? You got to make sure you have a plan, a call to action. You can't just, you know, put something out there. You got to make them want to do something. Wow. That sounds like it's not great for Newt. How do you think he's going to respond, Crudy?
I think he will basically ignore the subpoena until he is hauled in on his contempt charges. And then at the last minute, much like Steve Bannon, he will offer to give testimony. But I fear it will be too late for him.
Well, I mean, that seems like, you know, if your wife's, ambassador to the Pope nation, man, you think you'd have, you know, better grasp of what right and wrong. I'm sorry, who am I kidding? It's I can't even get it out.
She is the ambassador. Callista Gingrich is the ambassador to the Holy See. That's the Vatican, right? Yeah. But I was wrong about this part, and I'm sorry to disparage Appleton.
Okay, thank you.
She's from Whitehall, Wisconsin. Oh, that's over in Triplo County.
She's still a Wisco girl.
Oh, man, I knew she was from Wisconsin.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's interesting.
Harry Houdini. And you're a graduate of, what, Appleton Xavier?
Yeah, me and Rocky Blyer, man.
So that town's really going to pot.
And Harry Houdini. I don't know where Harry went to school, though, but he's from Appleton, right?
But not Callista. Not amongst the alums of the venerable Appleton, Wisconsin. So anyways, there's that. There's more out there.
You also can't forget Willem Dafoe. He was also from Appleton, Wisconsin.
So was Tom Wopat, the other Duke of Hazzard. The not John Schneider Duke of Hazzard. I believe he's from Appleton. I'm pretty damn sure. You can Google that.
9672789.
It's worth the Google.
Going down that rabbit hole. Lots of great, wonderful.
Oh, I take that back. Actually, Tom Wopat
from Appleton
is from Lodi, Wisconsin.
Oh, from Lodi? Oh,
where Susie the Duck's at.
Lodi again.
Different Lodi. Pretty sure it's a different Lodi. There's not enough to Lodi to get stuck in Lodi.
It depends how the night went. 844-967.
Lodi is right on the fringe of the devil radio signal. It's right there. Oh, you know, you depends on where you're at in Lodi.
844-96 party. Tom from LA. It's not Lodi, it's LA. Welcome, Tom.
What's up, guys? First off, we the people are the government. And we must never forget that.
Come on.
Second is Republicans are the party of murder and of pro-death.
Wow. You've moved on from just anti-business.
Yeah, no. They're definitely anti-business, too. And
now, Tom,
I am definitely
a distinction between Republicans at large versus the mega subset of because obviously we know they're down with the murder. They kill people.
I mean, yeah,
they stomped over one of their own when they were storming the Capitol, right? Didn't one of the people there die from basically being stomped on, being walked over?
Yeah, I actually do. I find people, such as, friends of mine that are Republican that maybe make a little more money or whatever, I can understand why it is that they might vote Republican because they're big tax breaks. People like CJ and some of the other yahoos that call in.
Don't forget Lou.
Lou and Dave seems to be coming around a little bit, but not completely. These guys that vote against their best interest and are also, they just seem like people that really don't like themselves very much. And I really feel bad for them. And I really wish that they would stop being victims of this horrible, Joe Biden presidency and, start taking personal responsibility for what their Cheeto Jesus did, in January. And also,
Tom, isn't it more likely we're going to have to let the nonviolent offenders off with the slap on the wrist? And I mean, basically anyone that voted for Donald Trump. And if you have these violent tendencies, let's say you want to be a congressman from the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin, and you carry loaded weapons through airplanes, or you go out to the insurrection, I would draw a distinction at that level of dedication. Do you see any difference, 100%. Tom? Because at some point, we got to admit, there's a lot of Trump voters that are our neighbors, friends, and family members.
Yeah, and I think part of that is that the reason they vote even for Trump is because their family was Republican, so therefore they think they're Republican, and it's just a family voting trend, unfortunately, and whoever it is that's at the top of the ticket for the Republican Party, that's who they're going to vote for. But these other ones that are these violent people, like I said, these just self-hating little men that, or I'd call them little boys. They're just really, really quite sad. But I wanted to let you guys know that, my cousin, Kevin Wolski, you guys know him, from Andy's Air and Heating. He went to school, with the Gingrich,
Calista
Gingrich woman, Calista in Whitehall. So he probably has got some stories. Kevin, if you're out there, call in and tell those stories.
You've been invoked, Kevin, who owns Andy's, which is very confusing, who occasionally sells me preseason Packer tickets, and I appreciate it. Come back, more Devils.
I'm pretty sure that's the smell of your ma's apple
town.
That's your home! Are you too good for your home?
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's advocates.
Down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
To the Devil's Advocates radio show, phone lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Dom, I'm taking an unscreened call because I recognize it. Kevin, don't call him Andy, but he owns Andy's Heating. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Hey, Kevin.
Man.
Your name was invoked so like a debate. I can give you 30 seconds to respond to Tom Adler.
Well, so yeah. That's what I was going to say. California Tom just texted me. Anyways, yeah, I went to high school with Newt Gingrich's wife, and here's the thing.
Did you hit on her in high school?
No, she was a little older than me, so, I mean, But anyway, she class valedictorian and salutatorian. I'm thinking, how could you be so smart but yet be so dumb to marry some guy like that? He is just as ugly in person as he is on TV, and next time I run into Newt, I'm going to have to say, look, I got you and Mitt Romney all mixed up when you guys were running for president. Here, Romney was the religion of polygamy, and I thought Newt was a polygamist because he was married, and he was having an affair with Calista.
Well, every time a wife of former Speaker Newt Gingrich, now subpoena E, the subpoena will come next week.
A nice request, E. Please come and testify, please.
Please come and testify, please. But the guy cheated on his first wife with his second wife while she had cancer. The second wife got MS, and he cheated on her with Calista. And anyways, so I hope Calista stays well or Newt's moving on to number four?
Maybe Newt's the reason everyone's getting sick, Andy. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Could be. I don't know.
Hey, man, I might need some Packer tickets. I'm going to get back to you, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Have a great weekend. Happy Labor Day to you. Hopefully not too many air conditioners break. Andy slash Kevin, his radio name. He'll be out fixing air conditioners all weekend. That won't seem much like Labor Day, except he'll be laboring. Robert from West Ellis, welcome. Me talking feels like a laborious effort.
Getting to feel that way, Robert.
Hello. I haven't had a grievance in a while, but after Biden's speech last night, you know, I was watching Chuck Todd, and I'm just so sick of the media doing the, hey, there's both sides to every issue kind of thing. So, you know, he immediately launches into, oh, this is a political speech, you know, and I think they really missed the point. You know, Biden was talking about something that was much larger, you know, with the threats to democracy and stuff, and, you know, I'm sure it was happening on the other networks. I just really wish they would call it for what it is, you know, with these really extreme types, you know, call it terrorism, if that's what, really what's going on. I mean, we all have folks in our family that they're very conservative. They vote for Trump and some of these other folks, but, you know, they know where that line is. You know, they're not at the Capitol, you know, hitting a police officer with a flag. Yeah. But, I mean, that's my gripe. Let's stop, you know, making it all political and say, well, you know, we have to, you know, what is the other angle of the story of, you know, why that's appropriate and why it's a political speech versus really, you know, we have larger issues going on here. So that was it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Great point. Appreciate you calling in. 844-967-2789. Go ahead, Curdy.
Dominic, the other big issue was the inventory of the stolen documents, Donald Trump's inventory. The list was given out, at least how many classified folders of this and that and the other thing he had, but I found it very interesting. Trump put something up on the Truthy Social, another confession, Dom, and in defending himself, this knee-jerk reaction, you know, the FBI trying to make him look bad. I you've seen the photo. Everyone's seen the photo. It's all over social media, right? The photo of all the top secret files, and they're laid out on the carpeting. That's obviously not Trump's office, because his office has gold carpeting, and this is more like hallway carpeting. So anyways, Trump made a big to-do.
Well, they took pictures of the evidence. It's like when you bust the cocaine and the money, they stack it all up on the desk and put the cocaine, the guns, and the money. And
that's not where I kept my cocaine, is basically his defense. let me read a little bit from the statement Donald Trump made in reaction to the photo, because he just couldn't help himself, Dom. There seems to be, and sorry, Gene, I'm back to doing the voice. There seems to be confusion as to the picture where documents were sloppily thrown on the floor and then released photographically for the world to see. And if that's what the FBI found when they broke into my home, wrong. They took them out of cartons and spread them around on the carpet, making it look like a big find for them. They dropped them, not me. Very deceiving.
You're right. What, dude?
The classified documents in my possession were neatly filed in the boxes. You know, all random
my
happenstance.
And my money and my guns were not all stacked up on the hood of my car. They were hidden in the house. The FBI came in and did that for a big find. Very deceiving. I mean, really? You got to be kidding me. And this guy is just continually walking into it's great because it's self-destruction. And I kind of love to see that coming from a narcissist like that, thinking that he's being all Trumpy and going to get away with stuff. And you never know. We don't know what's going to happen. But, God, you're admitting to it. So what about I hope they don't plant things? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I've got the explanation. And the only inside the Trump White House kind of book I'm looking forward to reading is the one to be dropped by Maggie Haberman. My understanding, it will come in October. But Haberman of the New York Times noted, and I think she tweeted yesterday, Trump has moved off suggesting things were planted.
Yes.
And now says documents were in cartons at his house/club, which he says, even though his lawyer signed a document asserting all material was in the storage area and went back per the DOJ. You know, sort of a sort of a confession of sorts, Tom. No, that's not at all where I kept my cocaine. I keep it in the drawer next to my bed. That's why I don't sleep at night. I used to stay up all night tweeting. But
3 in the morning, I'm tweaking out. My eyes are wide.
Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. More random late night thoughts. I was up quite late last night as well. Less cocaine and guilty conscience than, you know, it's a little humid in the house. Should have ran the AC. Not opening Kevin. The windows tonight. Oh, yeah, Kevin. Where was Kevin when I needed him? Could have had him, you know, done a fan on me. I don't think that's what you meant. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Say exactly what you mean or get the hell out of Q. 844-967-2789.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Labor Day edition. Happier, happy hour rolling through it. Dominic, we are expecting Joe Biden. I'm getting some news that Joe Biden might have to be wheels up by 1 p.m. Central Time. So the speech might be a little earlier, you know. Hope it doesn't interfere with the labor parade, because that's not supposed to be done till noon. And Joe is notoriously late. So we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Just tune in all day long on Labor Day. We'll be playing out Joe Biden whenever he joins us from the stage briefly, you know, 20 minutes or so. It's the only place you're going to hear it. They're not going to play it on the network television.
No, you don't think so? You don't, ABC, CBS, NBC, not going to play it.
I doubt that he'll get Labor Day coverage. They got some fine, you know, soap operas or something to play. Probably reruns of soap operas, it being Labor Day. Dom, guess what Donald Trump's doing to mark the big weekend?
He's going to, what, Pennsylvania? Same date that Biden is, right? Monday.
Campaign rally, baby! Former President Trump on Saturday will hold his first rally since the FBI searched his home in Florida. Trump is ostensibly heading to Pennsylvania to help boost support for the teetering campaigns of Senate candidate Dr. Oz and gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano, both of whom he backed in the Republican primary. But Trump is expected to unleash on Joe Biden, the Department of Justice, and the FBI in a speech, which will take place 2 days after Biden described Trump and his movement as an urgent threat to democracy. So, Dom, a couple of things to watch. You going to watch? You going to watch the Trump speech?
No, dude. No.
How do you...
I've seen that show. I mean, how many times you got to go? You drugged me to... where do we go? Waukesha, you know, a few weeks ago. So, no, I don't need to go see
that Trump was again. Before... The FBI executed a search warrant on Trump's home, you know, and then took false, fake photos of laying out all the, you know, the top secret files he had. But well, he had them neatly organized.
Not all of the files. That was just some of the files. I mean, apparently like 10,000 pages. I mean, they found all sorts of stuff. And most disturbingly, 48 empty folders marked top secret. What happened to the contents of those folders?
They're in Eric Trump's garage, yeah. Or possibly in Ivana's grave. Look in the grave in Bedminster, Dom. All the missing files? Come on.
I've seen Peaky Blinders, man. I see how that works.
Who buries their ex-wife on the first tee? You know, maybe on the 18th when you're fishing up the round, kick a little dirt on her or something.
Whose family lets the ex-husband bury their loved one on his golf course? I mean, is she the only one around? I mean, did anybody else sign off on that? Was Donald? I mean, how is Donald? I don't even want to.
It's a tax break. It's a write-off, Jerry. You don't even know what a write-off is.
If my mother passes away, her ex-husband doesn't get to decide where she's going to get buried, man. I'm going to decide. That my family, my brother and sister, and me, we're gonna decide that. But
what if it's a tax write-off, Dom? Whatever. What if they could get you a little tax break?
You just gotta go me to bury my mother in your golf course. No, that's not gonna happen.
It's the first hole. We're gonna put her out by the women's tees.
The first hole. Oh well, I mean, how much are you paying me?
It's a modest tax break, but, you know, worthwhile.
Wow.
If you're trying to shield your assets and all that kind of stuff. You know, there are some other takeaways, some things you could watch for, but if you're not going to bother watching, if you're just mailing it in.
Rally. Didn't Mastriano also hire a couple of those fake fraudulent electors?
That's Masters. Actually, that is the senatorial candidate in Arizona going against Mark Kelly. Much like U.S. Senator Ron Johnson from the state of Wisconsin, he also apparently hired fraudulent criminal Trump electors.
And this goes to the point of why President Joe Biden had that speech and why the Republicans are freaking out and why the broadcasters should have aired it. Because this goes on. These people didn't just go away. They're being hired by current Republicans who are running for Congress. And who
Tom. Some are running for office. See Derek Van Orden in the third CD in the great state of Wisconsin. He's not a Trump elector per se, but he's an insurrectionist, and he's got violent tendencies, and he speaks a lot like Alex Jones. Not an endearing quality as far as I was concerned, Dom.
An endearing person as far as I'm concerned.
A bald Alex Jones. Not a good look for a man either.
Isn't Alex Jones bald?
No.
Oh, okay.
Comb over-ish, you know.
All right, all right.
I will eat your ass.
He will eat your ass. So anyways, there's that, Dom. You know, I felt... Go ahead.
No, there's that. That's it? That's all you got?
Well, apparently you don't want to go there with me, so I'm not going to drag you down a rabbit hole. Yeah,
But I didn't know. My impression was that Trump was going to be in Pennsylvania the same day as Biden. You're telling me that's not the case. Trump will be there Saturday. Biden's doing Milwaukee and then going to Pennsylvania afterwards, am I understanding?
Pittsburgh, back to Pittsburgh. Yeah. Actually, Wilkes-Barre is where Biden was at like a week ago or three, 4 days ago. He already appeared from there. Trump's going to the very place Biden was like on Wednesday.
Gotcha. Okay. So no, we don't have to worry about two-man enter, one-man leave. There's not going to be a mano.
Could you see those guys passing at the airport? Although, you know, the fact that Joe gets to ride on Air Force One and Trump's riding in Trump Force One.
is he really?
I think he's
these days.
I bet what's
the deal?
A Gulfstream. I bet he's using some private jet from one of his many rich and wealthy supporters.
And Eric Trump's flying coach on JetBlue. You guys see that? Oh man, it was funny.
Are you kidding me? Find that. Go research that. That's better than Callista's hometown.
Yeah, just a picture of Eric Trump sitting in economy, you know? Oh, man.
I thought they saved economy for Birdie. I'll have to Google that.
967-2789.
You know what we do have, Dom? Here's a direction we could take the show as I'm just mailing it in. Yeah.
But I actually have something to talk about. But
I have something to talk about.
Yeah, tell me more about the football.
It's going to be... No, that's not where I was going. I was up quite late. I'm a little tired. So, you know, if I'm not quite as festive as I normally would be, I apologize. That's my mea culpa.
Yeah, all right.
But...
Or even then.
What was I going to talk about? Oh, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson finally has a solution. You know, many problems this world faces, many problems. Rojo being one of them, to my opinion. But finally, we've got a solution being offered by U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. I'm not saying it's a great plan, but Ron's got a plan how to solve the labor issue. And I'd like you... And all of our audience, especially those that thought they were retired, you know, hold your horses, fella. Ron's got future retirement plans for you. Play it for the people, Evan. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson hating on old people.
I wrote a column for the Wall Street Journal. You can go online, November 2021, saying that we need about 2.6 million additional workers added to our labor force. And our birth rates aren't producing that. So there are a number of innovative ideas I would support. Former Senator Phil Graham came to the Senate. We were talking about our labor shortage. And one of his suggestions was to coax seniors that could re-enter the workforce. Don't charge them payroll tax. They're not paying it anyway. So if, you know, they want to get back and earn a few extra bucks, well, let them start working and don't charge them payroll tax.
Coax. It's a coax.
Let's coax them back without, you know, the lack of a payroll tax. That's going to get me out of retirement in a heartbeat. You know, I would say, sadly, those of retirement age that find the necessity of working in this nation that you supposedly govern, Ron Johnson, you know, that might be a problem. But they're going to have to work either way, Ron, with or without the 7.625% savings. But what do you think about this plan? Ron, we need 2.6 million workers a year. I think that was his math.
2.6 million is exactly what he said.
But the idea of getting immigrant labor is so anathema to this man. The idea, oh, open borders, Joe Biden. Because what? Because they're not as white as you?
Oh, yeah.
If your hair's not whiter than Rojo's, you can't work in this nation?
Well, but if your hair's super white, you might be able to, you know, if you're old enough, you know, work without paying payroll taxes. Because I'm not going to pay it anyway. I'm going to coax them. I think it's terrible. I mean, listen, it's Ron Johnson, so this is what we've come to expect. And when I heard that, I thought that the same thing as you, Curdy. How come your innovative idea does not include somehow an easy work visa program, right? I mean, we got lots of people coming into this country, right? You're all mad.
Comprehensive
about that, right?
Immigration. Reform.
Right. I mean, of course.
His last good idea, try all the drugs.
Try all the solutions. I mean, obviously, this is asinine to think you're going to coax people, elderly retired people out of retirement to come to work to solve a $2.6 million employee deficit that we have and not look at bringing in immigrant labor and regulating it. Making it safe and easy and taxing it and welcoming that. I mean, this is the dairy state here in the state of Wisconsin, right? Do you know how much of the dairy state is producing the milk that's produced? 80% immigrant labor. 80%, 80%. I worked on the farm growing up. I don't know if I ever told you the story, Curdy, but I worked on a dairy farm. My
really?
Neighbor's dairy farm. When I was growing up, my high school year, got up at 5 o'clock, 5:30 every morning, had to go down and milk the cows. Monday through Sunday, start over again Monday. My cows got to get milked twice a day. Some do it three. You know, this farm did it too. There was not that kind. It's a tough job, man. I replaced the youngest son of a family who wanted nothing to do with it. He turned 18. He's out. He was a year older than me, so I stepped in and I did the job. You got to be there every day. It's a hard job. 80% of the labor being done right now in the state of Wisconsin in the dairy state is being done by immigrant labor.
Dairy labor, not all labor, right? I'd like to think I show up for work once in a while.
Of the farm workers
yes.
Here in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, this is already happening. And instead of criminalizing them, ostracizing them, and keeping them, paying them cash and keeping them under, you know, off the books and whatever's going to happen. And when you do charge them, because perhaps some of them have a wrong Social Security number, so they're paying into a fund that they will never get money back on. So they're extra taxed in that regard. But we're still using the labor, and the farmers are still employing them. So they're the ones breaking the law just as much as the immigrant labor who may not be approved in this country. So there's all sorts of problems to be addressed. Why don't you just go that route, Ron, instead of trying to coax mom to come back to the workforce?
Speaking of mom and her meatloaf, you remember Republican Glenn Grossman, congressman from Wisconsin. You recall his solution to the labor shortage, don't you, Dom?
I do not.
Child labor. And of course, ending
delicate, perfect little fingers.
And of course, ending the guaranteed weekend for some laborers because, you know, people want to work 7 days a week, the industrious.
That's right.
But I like the child labor thought process, you know, because they got little hands, Dom. They can pull the stuff out of those big machines that get stuck.
They take a finger or two. I mean, you can always have another kid. I mean, you know, see, it's terrible. Watch, you see some of those old black and white photos of these kids in the mills and in factories. It's like, oh, or hell, even, you know, down in the coal mines, kids, you know, covered in black. It's just, what? And that's not that far. So we talk.
Well, great grandma says, grandson, hold my beer. I'm back to the factories because I got a labor shortage. I got to solve for Ron Johnson.
And I'm not going to pay payroll taxes.
Because the glaringly obvious solution of allowing more immigrant labor here in our nation and actually solving the problem, it's like it's out there right on the horizon, but somehow it's like a blind spot these guys have. Old people, young people, how about vibrant working age people from, you know, other countries that come here for the American dream,
like
the melting pot.
Ancestors were from other countries before they came here. Ron Johnson. I don't, that's not an indigenous last name. Is it Ron?
He's got to be Norwegian or White Walker or something. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
Winter
last segment.
Is coming. He's from the wall.
For your grievances, 844-96-PARTY.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately.
I hate this job. I hate this damn job, and I don't need it.
This isn't very nice, is it?
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
To the Devil's Advocates radio show, 844-967-2789. I want to correct the record here. I looked it up and I found from The Guardian, immigrant workers make up approximately 40% of the workforce in Wisconsin dairy farms. Of them, up to 90% are undocumented. So I apologize, I got my percentages wrong. 40% of the workers, according to The Guardian, of the workforce on dairy farms are immigrant, and 90% are undocumented.
I thought you were going to say they're not really the Oconomowoc raccoons.
Raccoons. Is that racing? You're from Wisconsin, aren't you?
They're playing the Waukesha South Blackshirts tonight, right here on WAUK. Pregame starts at 6:30.
Does it?
Wait, what? What's that they're saying, Tom? They're saying Crudy. They must have pulled that tape from my high school football days.
Yes, yes. You and Al Bundy, man, you score all sorts of touchdowns.
844-967. Mostly with your girlfriend. 2798.
What? 2789? Oh, my God, Crudy. Wisco, Paul, welcome. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Wisco.
Yeah, Devils, I hope you guys have a good Labor Day. But my grievance would be with good old Rojo Ron Johnson, used to be Dominic's friend. No Social Security, no Medicare, no relief for prescription drugs for seniors. He voted against that. Running around with fractional actors. The list goes on and on and on. Oh, yeah, I got horse murmur for the pandemic people. It's just, you know what? He'd be better off just to run TV ads and just keep his mouth shut.
That's been mostly Tony Evers' campaign so far, although I hear he appeared on Earl's show this morning.
Jeez, I hope he don't. Oh, my God. If he loses, that'll be bad.
Yeah, that'll be bad.
I got a dude from Connecticut. A guy from Connecticut. Hey, why don't he run for governor? Oh, Connecticut's a blue state. He can't run out there, right? He couldn't run in Connecticut because it's blue, correct?
Well,
he lives there, right?
He could run if you're talking about Tim Michaels, but he'd lose. But I think he might do that here. Kind of like he did the last two times he ran. He ran for state senate.
He's an outsider.
Well, from outside the state. That makes you a carpetbagger, technically, doesn't it?
I'm a businessman who loves 1849 abortion laws and think that, you know, laws that came on the books that we're now going to enforce before women actually had the right to vote and influence what the laws were, you know, because women couldn't vote back then, Tim. He is down. You get raped. Nah, too bad. God wants you to have that baby. Oh, you have a problem with me giving all, you know, $250,000 to, you know, religious quote unquote organizations that are not down with LGBTQ? Well, that's just my religious. People are mad because I'm religious. No, people are mad because you're a bigot and you hide behind your religion, your bigotry behind your religion, Tim.
Well, I was going to call him 45% Timmy, like Clayfish's team did, because, of course, that's all he got when he ran against Feingold. Or I could call him 30% Timmy, because that's all he got, Michaels, when he ran against State Senator Scott Fitzgerald at the time.
Or
I could call him 12% Tim Michaels, because his very extreme position that abortions, excluding all exceptions for rape or incest, only 12% of Wisconsinites feel that way. The most extreme 12%. And that's not exactly a governing majority, although like 80-something percent of Wisconsinites want legalized weed, and Republicans ignore that fact. 80-something percent of Wisconsinites want 60-something percent want the expansion of Medicaid. Never happened under Republican governance. You know, so they don't give a damn about what the people want, talking about your Republican friends. Just how do you grab power?
And once you grab it, how do you keep it, right?
Well, mostly by not resigning from DNR boards like Fred Preen and through lame duck legislation signed into law by the former governor, Scott Winker. I mean, there's been all sorts of semi-fascistic moves happening.
Man, it's just the insurrection party. If we lose, we're going to throw an insurrection party. It'll be wild. You should come.
844-967-2789. Curtis from West Dallas, man. How's your dog?
Hey, Curtis.
Very good. Actually, he's doing very well. He's actually trying to get in shape.
Yeah, me too, but it doesn't ever work.
I know, he gets too many treats. I know, all the neighbors love him, so I keep on feeding.
What do you got for us, Curtis?
I gotta say, ho, Ron's gotta go. November, put him back in the labor force because, you know, we'll give him free taxes. See,
well,
more than get there. I like that.
And Walmart probably needs more greeters, so you know, there's always gainful employment for the man.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, he can always go work for Trumpy's, maybe golf course, you know, down there in Mar-a-Lago.
I don't think Ron Johnson will work another day in his life. I mean, hell,
I'm not the guy's sure Ron Johnson's worked any in the last 12 years. He's done any work?
Not at all. Not especially not in Wisconsin, except he messed everything up.
Well, Ron's doing the Lord's work with the ivermectin and the and taking all the drugs, Curtis.
Hydroxychloroquine. Yeah, you know, he's call him Dr. Ron, Dr. Johnson.
Dr. Feelgood?
Dr. Feelgood, there you go.
Any other thoughts, Curtis?
Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks, man. Too. Back at you. You know, we're moving on from Curtis like we've got something more to say. Yeah. That's not true. We don't have more to say.
We have so much more to say. There are so many things we did not get to today. We talked about earlier, Curdy, Derek Van Orden. This is the guy running for Congress from the state of Wisconsin who went to the insurrection.
Spent over $4,000 at the insurrection.
Campaign money to do so. That went to the FEC. And according to Lawrence Andrea at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, they dismissed that complaint. And the reasoning essentially was that he said he traveled to Washington for a series of political meetings with House Republicans on January 5th to discuss his quote-unquote political future. And he contended that the expenses are justified due to the ongoing nature of his campaign. So, you know, it's like a write-off, man. I used the money to go and have a meeting, but then while I was there, I just happened to, you know, engaged in the insurrection. I didn't go on site. Okay, yeah, I did because you can see the pictures. But I lied about not being there. So it's a write-off, Jerry. Don't worry about it. He will not be punished by the FEC.
You know, occasionally this summer I've traveled for business, Tom, as you well know. And I bring my beloved, Mrs. Crudy, and I might note the health update. Yes. Mrs. Crudy has lost her sense of taste and smell. So I think I might be more appealing to her.
Smell, but I think she lost her taste when she married you. Happy Friday, Crudy.
Yeah, back at you, fella. Can't wait to see you at Monday Labor Fest. Tune in a little earlier than noon. We've been, you know, promoting it from noon to 3. Apparently, Joe Biden might be there a little bit earlier. So check in. You know, we'll keep you posted. Enjoy the Friday Night Football kicking off in about an hour all across the Civic Media Network. And, of course, don't forget Badger Football kicking off Saturday night on WFHR 1320 AM. Let me verify, 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. Thank you all for listening. Devil's Advocates, have a great weekend. See you back here on Tuesday.
Like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines. Like I picked the wrong week to quit drinking. Picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.